Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Good morning, everybody.
Sip of coffee.
Oh my god, that is so strong. Oof, that's the first sip. You know when you make the coffee in the morning and you go, well, I'll put another scoop in. Turns out I've made nuclear reactor waste. What? Why does that taste so weird? Christ. Oh, I don't know about that. Here I am, it's early in the morning, I'm looking out of a car window, and I've got rolling countryside zooming past me, the sun is shining, I've seen daffodils this morning, I've seen, I'm going to say crocuses, but I think they might come out in autumn actually. I've seen things that look springy, and they're springing from the ground. Today is a good day, it's feeling like... You know, winter is receding. It's feeling like, I mean, it's been raining non-stop though. I'm looking at a massive puddle filling a field as I drive past it. I mean, it's been a lot, hasn't it? Apparently the water table, for anyone who doesn't know what that is, nor do I, but the water table apparently is full. There is all water. But I think that's this whole thing that you can't keep hold of it until they don't know how to save it. So it doesn't help when there's a hose pipe back because it just evaporates again. But, you know, maybe Keir Starmer will be able to sort this out. It seems like he's our only hope. Now then, what's happening today here on Homo Sapiens? Well, a couple of things are happening today. We've got Hannah Gadsby on the show. Hannah Gadsby came on a while ago, shot to the international public consciousness when they did a show called Nanette. Nanette was a stand-up comedy special on Netflix. Well, I don't think it didn't start on Netflix. It started as a show that Hannah did around the world, talking about very important stuff to Hannah. I won't do any spoilers. And it kind of changed comedy. It brought, for queer people specifically, it really brought about the realization that often we are forced to send ourselves up in those kind of comedy spaces. And actually the whole show was Hannah kind of saying, I'm not doing comedy anymore, I'm leaving. Ironically, it's what made Hannah really famous. And now is a huge star. So, and then Hannah has always been synonymous with controversy, Twitter explosions. A lot of what they say and do on the internet goes viral. And has become a bit of a kind of spokesperson, probably, I would say, completely unintentionally, but often people look to Hannah to speak on issues such as gender, trans people, all those kinds of things that, sadly, are hot topics. Hannah seems to get pulled into them. And when Dave Chappelle did his Netflix special that was very transphobic, Hannah wrote this note on Instagram. They don't mince their words. Hey, Ted Sarandos, just a quick note to let you know that I would prefer if you didn't drag my name into your mess. So this is because when Ted Sarandos, head of Netflix, got lots of criticism for sort of putting the transphobic Netflix special out there. I think Ted then mentioned Hannah in one of his responses. So Hannah gets pulled in. World is on fire with this whole thing going viral. Hannah's pulled it. Now, and back to Hannah's message, now I have to deal with even more of the hate and anger that Dave Chappelle's fans like to unleash on me every time Dave gets $20 million to process his emotionally stunted partial worldview. You didn't pay me nearly enough to deal with the real world consequences of the hate speech, dog whistling, you refuse to acknowledge, Ted. Fuck you and your amoral algorithm cult. I do shits with more backbone than you. That's just a joke. I definitely didn't cross a line because you just told the world there isn't one. So, punchy, I think we'll call that. And as a result, Hannah was now at the center of this storm, and with kind of not her employer, I suppose, I don't think it works like that, but you know, this person who, this network that put out their work, and that's tricky. But also, added complication was that apparently that message got translated into Russian and then back out of Russian and changed the wording that made it even more punchy, if you can believe such a thing exists. So how does a comedian who came to prominence speaking about important issues around queerness and many other things and is a pillar for good, how do you continue to work in the framework in which you are, which is e.g. putting things out on Netflix? Well, enter stage left, Hannah Gadsby's gender agenda. So Hannah jokingly calls this the carbon offset show. So it's this wonderful special that Hannah has curated of all their favourite comedians, queer comedians, I should say, and people on the gender spectrum, wherever they may be, inclusive, warm, loving, and most of all, really, really funny. So we've got Deanne Smith, we've got Jess Tom, we've got Chloe Pets, we've got Asha Ward, we've got Muxdalia Bell, and we've got Krishna Istha. And we've got Alok, Alok also being the previous guest of this here podcast. And they all are very funny in very different ways. And that was kind of what Hannah wanted to create. One, not just being the best comedians, but also people who represented all different parts of the wonderful spectrum in which we all live our day-to-day lives. And I just cackled. It's got such funny observations about things like top surgery, misgendering, being on testosterone, and just some of the brightest minds in comedy. It's really, really good. So that's all coming up in a moment. We're going to chat to Hannah. They're going to tell us all about it. And actually, we talked loads all about Hannah. But actually, of course, because it's Hannah and because it's Homo sapiens, we just have a good old gas. We're talking about life, and it's really lovely. So thank you, Hannah, for coming to visit us. If you are not up to date with previous episodes, listeners, Charlie Craggs was on the show last week. Thomas wrote in, I've never heard of Charlie Craggs until this week. Within the first 5 minutes of this week's episode, already love her. She's fantastic, and her activism ideas are so creative. I'm pleased you liked her, Thomas. She warms my soul. And we also had Elliot Page talking to us on our Culture Club BFI Flair special. And all the other amazing queer talent, people like Amru Al-Kadi, who came on the show before. It's a veritable feast of queer delight and creativity. And any other business? Well, so after this delightful episode with Hannah Gadsby, Homo sapiens is going to be taking a break. I've got to go filming, so I've got to pop off for a little minute, but we're going to continue doing bits and bobs of content. We're going to do a Hoopla special, we're going to do some Pride stuff, the socials are going to be continuing to roll on, and we'll probably do some best-ofs, but we're going to be on a break until autumn. Basically, I've got to go filming, and I won't have time to do the podcast, but that does not mean we should not stay in touch, my dear friends. So keep emailing, hello at Homo Sapiens Podcast, keep dropping us a line on the socials, everything will still be up and very much running. And I'm sure I'll pop on now and again to tell you things about life. But weekly episodes will not be on air in the same way until the autumn, when we'll be back with a brand new snazzy series. very exciting things ahead. So yes, I'm going to miss you all so much. I cannot tell you what a joy it is to talk to everybody every week. And the way that you all write in and contribute and discuss. And this whole podcast is the most important thing to me. It makes me happy every day. And that's down to you guys. So thank you for all of your listening. Thank you for listening all the way through this series. I mean, this has technically been one series, which has been going on for about 4 years. But I cannot wait to catch up with you all in the next series and continue the conversation, as they call it. It's really, really... doing this podcast, hanging out with you lot every week, makes me happy. So thank you very much for listening. Okay, let's go have a chat with Hannah, shall we?
Now, the last time I saw you, you might remember, was at Alan Cumming's house after Douglas.
The good old days.
Where in the world are you now?
In Australia.
I've just been working in Australia on the Gold Coast for like a year.
Gold Coast. So, congratulations. Mm, yummy.
One of your favourite places?
I've only just been there for the first time. I can't believe I left it that long. It's just 60 kilometres of badly thought out real estate. What were you doing there?
So my other job is I'm a director. So I was filming a show called Apples Never Fall. You've just been a complete slouch since we last saw each other. I mean, no one's heard from you. You've done nothing. It's just been embarrassing. You just can't move for creating some form of, you know, vibrant bit of excitement.
And I don't mean to. It's not my intention to do this. I don't think things through.
We'll get on to the special in a second. For obvious reasons, but this is my first question linked to it, is, you know, this whole special, which is amazing, by the way, it just felt profound to watch, actually, to see all these people come together, and particularly for me, the audience as well. You know, like, it was a two-way street. All the people who were there were people who have been misrepresented and all of those things, and it to be this lovely, inclusive space. And to just hear people talking on your own frequency in an easy, inclusive manner was wonderful.
Excellent. That's great to hear. That's nailing the brief.
But it came from one of your, what did you just call it? One of your more impulsive moments.
Yeah.
It just taught me through one of those, because I remember one of the things we said when we last met. What did you say? Am I an arsehole or is it because I'm autistic or something?
Yeah, usually in a song, sing song. Am I an asshole or am I autistic? I think, you know, it's a good compass. Look, I went through several edits for this Instagram post that got me into this trouble. I even ran it past a lot of people in my team. So we kind of understood, but I didn't. I'm always a bit shabby around the scale. Like, I stand by what I say, but the scale of a viral moment always really surprises me. You know, the scale that people care about something really doesn't affect them always blows me away a little bit.
Me too. And what is that?
I don't know. I think the internet's doing very strange things to our brains. I think there's a certain amount of flattening that happens and also an amplification that's probably not intended. And then people get excited and really like to join in. But then it's always an inflated sense of scale, you know, and it's all very confusing. For someone who's autistic, it feels impossible. You know, I struggle with a room of five people and this is a whole internet. I'm going to put my foot wrong. So I may as well just do it with style, you know, just mean to do it. But I'm pretty sure this foot's gone down wrong, but we'll slap it down.
Do you think that it's perhaps the fact that the twin factors that you're just saying it how it is and you have a platform, which lots of people are not doing. Lots of people are choosing to turn a blind eye to things in order to protect their own interests and things. Is that why the things you do go viral?
I honestly don't know. I don't think everyone who's quiet is necessarily choosing to turn a blind eye. I think particularly around gender, it's a very confusing subject. I prefer the people who are quiet than the ones that are talking out of their ass. They've only just had their first thoughts about a gender beyond the binary and they're not showing a much sort of humanity or thought. So I don't mind when people don't jump in necessarily.
I wonder if actually maybe a lot of people feel their gender very strongly and that's why it's incendiary. Because I'm like, everyone can just be whatever they want. End of discussion. And then you enter the world and you're like, it seems like it's not end of discussion.
It's an organizing concept, that's all. And, you know, people are like, you know, very comfortable with it. It suits them. It's fine. It feels very comfortable. Binary is there for a reason because it makes sense most of the time. So you may as well rub out the edges and forget about it. But like everything with being human, the rules we make up for ourselves just don't seem like they can possibly encompass everyone. So there's always these painful fringes that therefore get created that don't really need to be there. But we say we shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but we do. And I think we should just move on from that. We do judge books by their cover. We just got to be less surprised when we're wrong, maybe a little less angry. I don't know.
Well, it really helps to judge books by their cover because there's so much information coming at us. Like, you have to go on a base instinct, right, in some respects, but be open to being wrong. This thing I read this week that Munro Bergdorf shared, which I loved, which is a person called Gillian Brandstetter, but it says, if enforcing gender norms requires a constant state of surveillance and censorship, then they probably aren't as biological or innate as you think they are.
If you want to find genderqueer people in history, they're there. It's not new. It's just recent in the mainstream conversation. And it doesn't feel like a lot of people are handling it well, which is a shame.
Enter stage left, the gender agenda, curated by Hannah Gadsby, starring all these wonderful people. How did you find this ragtag bunch of brilliantly funny people? Are they living in your cupboard, in your basement? You know, are you out there on the scene trying to find these people? How does it come together?
No. The thing about my success was it sort of ripped me out of the ecosystem. Most comedians who have a platform, mine or larger, aren't really that closely involved anymore in the breaking scenes because we tour the world and have our own shows. So it's a different sort of life, I've noticed. I very much felt out of touch. So I re-engaged. I asked a few people who I know and then we got casting agents. And there's a wide team together to cast a wide net. We wanted a nice range. We wanted to show a lot of diversity, not just along gender lines, but also generational and also geographical and experience. Not everyone comes from a strictly comedy background. We've got a performance artist in there and also, you know, a poet and a performance artist, slashy, a lot of slashies.
Yeah.
But that seems appropriate for queer spaces. I feel often we don't just blur the physical boundaries, we do blur the genre boundaries also.
If it's a queer club night, there's also a poetry reading, there's also someone with a lute playing. We love a mashup. So it was a lot of research to find these people.
It was a process, I guess. It was great though, and we could make another.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Maybe one or two of these with confidence of equal quality. There is a depth of talent out there, even though it's, you know, dispersed. The people I've chose were also chosen to form a whole for the show, steering clear of declarations of these are the seven best. You know, we put seven together to sort of create an evening of interesting flow.
Your name comes up so much with young comedians because Nanette kind of changed the conversation around what queer people have impulses to do or not do around sending yourself up, right? And I feel like Nanette gave people permission to not do that. Have you experienced that yourself, of people saying that to you?
A little bit. I tend not to believe it. I think it's really important that I don't invest in my own hype. I think people having conversations about me, really, I really shouldn't participate. It feels like a dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of, yeah, all right then, off you pop. I'm still grappling with what happened, you know, what I did. I don't really understand what people are saying. I have a fair idea of the hate, because that's not very nuanced and was entirely expected. I just feel like a lot of people have opinions, and that's mm-hmm. just a bit overwhelming, mm. to be honest.
I think obviously that's something that is, you know, that way madness lies, to kind of break it down. But I think that for someone to kind of crystallize that thing of, like, don't send yourself up, and what innate is working within you to make you do that, to be palatable, you know, I think to have that articulated, for me, for example, has stayed with me. I genuinely would say it crosses my mind, you know, once every 6 months. It's like that lesson returns.
It really is a deeply wired behavior. I declare that I'll give it up, but I indulge it readily. You do want to pull your head in a lot. Because it's not actually safe to have your head out all the time. What am I, a turtle? I'm sorry, I don't know why we're pulling heads out.
No, but it's important, isn't it? You know, with lovely progress and self-realization about things like, e.g. queer people, self-edit a lot in order to be palatable to those around them. It's nice to know that is hardwired, because you don't want to give yourself another thing that you're failing at, which is, oh gosh, I keep self-editing.
Oh, like, yeah. Look, if anyone's listening that is having a hard time because I pushed them in the direction of no self-deprecation, go easy on yourself. Add a soldier. I was talking specifically around a piece of art and something like a comedy show. That's what you're putting down for the world. It's still a really important skill, I think. Maybe instead of queer people being less self-deprecating, I think maybe everyone should be more self-deprecating. But that's until that happens, I think we should just try and have a little confidence.
Just now and again.
Yeah.
You know, just try it. Try it for a minute. Who makes that joke in the show? Is it Krishna, who sort of draws the link between being on testosterone and equating to doing stand-up comedy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have the confidence of a man to do it, because it requires so much confidence.
Or delusion comes from a place that my ability to perform comes from a place of, you know, maybe I wouldn't say delusion. I don't know why I'm not scared of a large group of people staring at me. Like, it never even occurs to me. I don't even fear failure on stage. It just seems so small stakes.
Really? Why?
Because what's the worst that will happen? I think I said that on stage the other night. It was like, the worst you could do is kill me. But I think you'd feel a bit gross about that in the morning and I'd win. There are genuinely difficult things to go through. But it is a fear that most people have, is talking to large groups of people. So, you know, I'm just exploiting other people's weaknesses. I'm not. I know how I said that. It's not how I say it at all.
Well, it's fear of social exclusion, isn't it?
Oh, I already exist there. So there's nothing at stake.
Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. To this day, I just don't know how to join in. That's a constant. You know, occasionally I succeed, but it's a fluke. And then, you know, every day's a new day of endless possibilities of social exclusion for me. I can't worry about that, because I put this foot wrong. I just don't always think about the same things that other people are thinking about. I can miss the point, but in missing the point, I find an interesting other point, and that's where my career exists.
Do you feel that is changing for you, or has it always been like that?
Oh, no, it's always been like that. And it's like success has sort of made it both easier and more magnified. I'm here in regional Victoria, very much not LA, and that was a deliberate choice. It's a city and, excuse me, an industry that is built on relationships. I'm not going to survive in a city like that. I'm just going to, with a flippant offhand remark, just hurt people's feelings all over the place. I've done it. I told one of the producers of, what's that film with Lady Gaga?
A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born. That I just thought there's too many profile shots, because it looked like, is it a vase or is it two people? I thought I was being really funny, but I just got steered away from that conversation so sharply. And I wasn't trying to be mean. I just thought it was funny. So there's sort of, yeah. That's funny in the retelling, but, a career won't last.
But you're not saying it's bad. People need to lighten up as well.
Oh, well, yes. But also it was Oscar season, so no one was light over there, were they?
No. Well, perhaps you're questioning the very foundations on which the city is built.
Yeah. I'm an outsider and I'm really happy with that. I've been quite uncomfortable in the last few years because, I say something that I believe, but really it's stuff you sort of say when you're on the margins because you don't matter. And all of a sudden you have this like heightened platform. It's like, oh, I still don't matter, but yet I do. This is confusing.
Okay, end of part one with Hannah. Hannah, you're great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, part two's on the feed.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.